everyone. This is JJ, the co-founder of Good Pods. If you haven't heard of it yet, Good Pods is like Goodreads or Instagram, but for podcasts. It's new, it's social, it's different, and it's growing really fast. There are more than 2 million podcasts, and we know that it is impossible to figure out what to listen to. On Good Pods, you follow your friends and podcasters to see what they like. That is the number one way to discover new shows and episodes. You can find Good Pods on the web or download the app. Happy listening.
And welcome back to another episode of Fantasy Football with Gumbo. My name is Cha, and today I'm going to go ahead and discuss week four of the fantasy football season. I'm going to go ahead and dive into some advanced analytics. I'm going to give you guys some advanced metrics. I'm going to break down defenses this week, and I'm going to do what I've been doing all year, what we've been doing all year, and that's breaking down each of the 32 NFL teams, the respective week four matchups, and some of the best fantasy football plays that are available to you. Now, we've had an interesting start of the year. The first month of the season has been riddled with injuries. All of us at this point have a prominent player likely in our IR slot, and we're looking for waiver wire pickups. We're looking for great matchups so we can accumulate as many points as possible so we can stay in the fight. So what I want to do is I'm going to go through each and every game. I'm going to start with the first game of the week, which is the New York Giants versus the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday Night Football. So this game is really interesting because obviously the Cowboys are coming off of a tough loss to the Baltimore Ravens. On the other side, Malik Nabers has been lighting up fantasy football. He is wide receiver one for the entire league, and Daniel Jones hasn't been doing too bad of a job of feeding him the football. So when it comes to this matchup, once again, like I said, I want to break down defensive weaknesses kind of on each side. For the Giants defense, their weakness has been against the run. Right now, they're allowing about 4.8 yards per carry, and that sets up opportunity for guys like Rico Dowdle and Ezekiel Elliott to potentially accumulate some yards and have a better than normal game. The Cowboys, on the other hand, have been somewhat vulnerable to the passing game. To be more specific, deep passes. They have allowed a pretty high completion rate on throws over 20 yards for the first month of the season, which opens up the gates for Malik Nabers to catch some bombs. So with this matchup, I love Malik Nabers. Even if he does have to match up against Trevon Diggs, I like Malik Nabers a lot in this matchup. I believe that he's going to continue his dominance in fantasy football. The Giants offensively, I guess in terms of their offensive strengths, they are pretty effective in short yardage situations, right? They convert about 75% of their third and short attempts. So that's great news for guys like Daniel Jones. That's great news for a guy like Malik Nabers because, you know, the Cowboys have been having some struggles on the defensive front the last few weeks. And then conversely, for the Cowboys offense, I mean, they've had a relatively strong passing game. Dak Prescott ain't been doing too bad. And CeeDee Lamb actually is leading in yards after the catch. So yak yards right now. Now, CeeDee Lamb, Malik Nabers, lock and load starters, those guys are never leaving your starting lineup now. The bigger questions you probably have within this game are going to be around guys like Dak Prescott. It's going to be around guys like maybe a Jake Ferguson, maybe Daniel Jones if you're desperate for quarterbacks or if you play in a super flex type of league. I think the Giants are going to utilize Daniel Jones's mobility, and they're going to utilize the short passing game to exploit Dallas's blitz heavy defense. They love to blitz down there in Texas. And I think that Daniel Jones is going to be forced to accumulate some rushing yards this week. And I think he's going to go ahead and utilize that short passing game. So you might see Malik Nabers get, you know, some short passes. You might see Wandale Robinson get active. And I think they're going to be forced to kind of combat that heavy pressure by either rushing out of the pocket or distributing the ball quickly, ideally accurately, but also, you know, with shorter depth of target, seeing as how, you know, Daniel Jones may not have the opportunity to sit in the pocket and let a route build up. On the other side, the Cowboys are probably going to focus on deep passes and exploiting the Giants, you know, kind of weak secondary. I think this is a CeeDee Lamb get right game. And I love Jalen Tolbert this week. Jalen Tolbert has been outproducing Brandon Cooks for the first couple, you know, the first couple games this season. And I think that trend continues. So guys I like from this matchup are going to be, you know, Daniel Jones, Malik Nabers, CeeDee Lamb. Jalen Tolbert, if you are in need of a flex, I'm not mad at you for starting him. You have to understand that he is going to be boom or bust. But I think the dude can go ahead and catch maybe two bombs, get you somewhere around 60 to 70 yards, and you're hoping for that ideal touchdown. Dak Prescott should have a relatively good game if he can connect downfield with CeeDee Lamb. I got Dak penciled in for maybe around two touchdowns tonight. Let's count them for about 225 to 250 yards. And if you do the math breakdown on that for fantasy, assuming you play with, let's say, 6-point passing touchdowns, you're looking at Dak Prescott probably getting you a solid 15-ish points. We'll see what he does on the ground with the rushing yards. We'll see how the turnovers look. But I got Dak Prescott penciled in for a relatively safe 15 to 18 points this week if you play with 6-point passing touchdowns. And next game is going to be the Saints versus the Atlanta Falcons. Defensive weaknesses for this matchup on the Saints side. The Saints defense is actually really good. They don't have as many weaknesses as most. One weakness that I've seen over the past 3 weeks was in the game against the Eagles. Jalen Hurts, he ran a ton. They seem to be a little susceptible to the rushing quarterback, but they played the Falcons this week, and Kirk Cousins isn't really the most mobile of quarterbacks, so I think he's going to be somewhat of a sitting duck in the pocket. And defensive weaknesses for the Atlanta Falcons is their pass defense. They allow a relatively high completion rate, one of the highest in the league. And when you break down the fact that the Falcons allow a high completion rate of passes, and when you break down the fact that the Saints are relatively good, they struggle against maybe the rush if you had to identify anything. I think the Saints are going to utilize quick passes this week against the Falcons, right? They're going to go ahead and emphasize, you know, passes that have high completion rates. I think Chris Olave is going to be a star in this game. He seems to be more of the possession receiver. Rashid Shaheed is more so the guy to, you know, get you the big play over the top. He opens up the field for a guy like Chris Olave to work. And I think that with the Falcons allowing a high completion rate of passes to be completed, this is an ideal setup for Chris Olave, who serves as the possession receiver for New Orleans. And for the Falcons offense, I think this is going to be a Bijan game. I think the Falcons are going to focus on the run, and they're going to try to utilize the play action game. Darnell Mooney has been somewhat of a bright spot for this offense. He's been their field stretcher. Last game, I want to say the guy had 5 to 6 catches. He seems to be an integral part of the offense. If he's available on waivers, I'm not mad at you picking him up. This will be a game where the Falcons continue to lean on Bijan Robinson. And if there are big passes, they'll come off the, you know, the back end of play action. So, guys I like from this game are going to be Chris Olave. You got to throw Alvin Kamara in there, right? When you talk about high completion rate, Alvin Kamara is going to be running a decent amount of screens, Texas routes. He'll get his hands on the ball in the open field, and he should get into the end zone. I love Bijan Robinson from this game. I think Chris Olave is going to be a possession receiver who takes advantage of the pass defense from Atlanta. And Rashid Shaheed should have somewhat of a little bit of a, I guess, like a bounce back game. He didn't have the greatest game last week, but I have the receivers on the Saints having a pretty strong day. And I think Bijan Robinson is going to continue to get touches. Tyler Algier might see somewhere between maybe like 5 to 10 touches in this game. And once again, I got the Falcons focusing on the run, hit him with the play action, and I got the Saints utilizing, you know, Derek Carr's arm. Derek Carr's coming off of not the greatest week. I think they get back right in that Clint Kubiak offense, and I think Chris Olave is probably the wide receiver one from this game. I also think that Rashid Shaheed catches a bomb at some point. I got the Saints winning this game, but you never know what could happen. But those are my highlights from the Saints and Falcons Sunday afternoon game. And the next game we got is the Steelers versus the Colts. If you know anything about the Colts defense this year, they have not been great against the run. They got shredded by Josh Jacobs. They should have actually done worse last week against the Bears, but DeAndre Swift just is not having a great start to the season. So when it comes to defensive weaknesses, obviously the Colts are weak against the run. And the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, if they have a weak spot, it's the passing game. But that Steelers defense is playing phenomenally. It's a Mike Tomlin defense, so what do you expect? Right now, the defense with TJ Watt is averaging only 8.7 points per game. I repeat, the Steelers defense is averaging 8.7 points a game allowed. They're barely allowing a touchdown. This is not a game that I feel extremely comfortable starting any Indianapolis Colt. If I have backup options at quarterback, I might go ahead and run that. I think TJ Watt, maybe the best linebacker in the league, is going to come into this game, and he's going to have damn near, I don't want to call it a bounty, but he's going to be sure that Anthony Richardson is not running all over the place. TJ Watt is extremely athletic, very fast. Wouldn't doubt if, you know, Mike Tomlin and that defense put TJ Watt into like a QB spy position and Anthony Richardson is forced to throw the ball. If there is someone I like in this game, I got to go with Alec Pierce. Maybe the Colts can go ahead and utilize the you know, the strengths of Jonathan Taylor. Maybe they can get going on the ground. And off a play action pass, maybe Alec Pierce has a bomb. On the other side with the Indianapolis Colts, it's a tough day for their, it's going to be a tough day for their offense. If they have any shot in winning, Jonathan Taylor needs to have an incredible game. I think the Colts are going to utilize Jonathan Taylor as much as possible. So I do have Jonathan Taylor penciled in for a large amount of touches. We'll see how efficient he is with those touches. But if there's anybody I really like from the game, it would probably have to be George Pickens. I think George Pickens is the wide receiver one from this respective game. And I also think that Najee Harris and Justin Fields maybe should have relatively decent days on the ground. Justin Fields is another guy who I'm really happy to see this year. He's bouncing back. He seems to be resurging his career. The Steelers are 3-0. Justin Fields is probably going to have a relatively good game on the ground against the Colts defense that is weak against the run. We'll see if he can go ahead and, you know, maybe catch a corner and, you know, get a big run, get a big play. I do think Justin Fields is going to be a top 10 quarterback play, and he's someone that I really, really, really like in DFS lineups this week. Jonathan Taylor, he's the guy from the Colts I like. If I had to pick a receiver, it would be, you know, Alec Pierce. If all goes well with the Colts game plan, which will be to run the ball, Alec Pierce should be able to thrive, you know, maybe on a catch or two downfield. He's probably going to get, I don't know if he'll get Joey Porter. I think Joey Porter might shadow Michael Pittman. But the Steelers, D-backs, they kind of have some trouble tackling sometimes, right? That's just something I've always kind of noticed with their backfield, or not their backfield, but with their DBs. So we'll see if Alec Pierce can catch a bomb. Adonai Mitchell, he's probably going to have a few more weeks before he breaks out, but I would keep him on your respective benches if you have him. Don't give up on him too early. He's an extremely talented receiver. And in the case that, let's say, Anthony Richardson keeps struggling, and for whatever reason, you know, Joe Flacco gets an opportunity, Joe Flacco and Adonai Mitchell are going to make magic. I repeat, Joe Flacco and Adonai Mitchell will make magic. Joe Flacco is a sit in the pocket. He's going to distribute the ball accurately. And for a guy like Adonai Mitchell, who kind of needs a pocket passing quarterback to really, you know, get the most out of his skill set, in any case in which Joe Flacco is the starting quarterback for the Colts, Joe Flacco and Adonai Mitchell will make magic. Quote me on that. Next up, we got Jacksonville versus the Houston Texans. This is going to be a really interesting matchup because Trevor Lawrence has somewhat struggled this season. Right now, I believe Trevor Lawrence has lost his last 8 games in the NFL. So, for whatever reason, things just are not clicking with Doug Peterson. I heard some theories around the internet that, hey, when Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl, Carson Wentz was on the bench and he brought in Nick Foles. Well, right now with Trevor Lawrence struggling and Mac Jones on the bench, it sounds like a hot take, but brother, they haven't won in their last 8 games with Trevor Lawrence at the helm. This will be a really interesting game to watch. I'm probably going to be sure that I'm in front of the TV to see it because this is really going to impact a lot of fantasy players moving forward. If there is a weakness on the Texans' defense, it's probably their run defense. Aaron Jones did not have a bad day against Houston. And the running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars is Travis Etienne. I think Travis Etienne, who's kind of, he hasn't been terrible, but he hasn't been great. If you drafted Travis Etienne, you drafted him as a second round running back. I do believe that he's going to provide more value as his offense starts to pick up. Right now, the Texans are averaging about 4.7 yards per rush attempt. If Travis Etienne can get a game in which they game plan around him, maybe try to alleviate some of the stress around Trevor Lawrence. Let's say Etienne gets 15 to 20 carries. You can do the math on that. 20 carries times 4.7 yards per attempt. The guy's looking at nearly a 100-yard day if he can, once again, get the volume. We'll see how they game plan it. But in regards to defensive weaknesses, the Texans suck against the run. The Jaguars are not great against the pass. We saw how Josh Allen lit them up on Monday night. Josh Allen had an incredible day. The Bills scored over 40 points against the Jacksonville Jaguars defense. The Texans, they have a really effective short passing game, especially with Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs has kind of been maybe like shaving his A-dot down a little bit just with what the offense calls for and what his new role is. I think that he's going to continue to see volume. I think Nico Collins has a bounce back game. Did not have the greatest game last week against the Vikings. I think he turns that back up. Cam Akers stepped in for a spot start last week in replacement of Joe Mixon. It kind of sounds like Joe Mixon might miss this week's game as well. Cam Akers only averaged about, I think it was like 3 yards a carry or something like that. So it wasn't really all that impressive. However, he did play Brian Flores and the Minnesota Vikings defense, which is one of the best, if not the best defense in the league. And Brian Flores is coaching up that defense so well that they are talking about him potentially getting a head coaching spot somewhere in the NFL sometime next year. Cam Akers, he caught a passing touchdown, or I guess a receiving touchdown. I like Cam Akers this week if he does get the start, and let's say Joe Mixon misses time. If Damian Pierce comes back, I just don't think Damian Pierce is good. So I still like Cam Akers in that situation. I think the offensive strategy on both ends, it's going to be the Texans utilizing their short passes, utilizing their receivers, throwing some screens. Right. And they're going to go ahead and try to, you know, just maintain a really high completion rate against the Jaguars. You know, maybe go out there, get a lead. CJ Stroud is probably due for a bounce back game. And if the Jaguars had an offensive strategy this week, mine would be to utilize Travis Etienne in your run game. I don't think they run the ball enough. Get the ball out of Trevor Lawrence's hands. Let somebody else kind of carry the load, let them get a win, let people get their confidence back. Sometimes when things aren't working, sometimes when your offense is seemingly falling apart, dog, just run the ball. Bring it back to Pop Warner. Run the ball, HB dive, right? Throw a couple sweeps in there, like get creative on the ground and limit the turnovers. I want to say Trevor Lawrence, since he entered the league, has the most turnovers of any quarterback. there's no part of the game plan in which Trevor Lawrence should be tossing the ball up 50 times a game. That's a losing strategy. We've seen it for the last 8 games. Use ETN, let him run the ball. That would be my strategy going into the game. Will they follow it? Who knows? But guys that I like from this game for fantasy football is Travis Etienne. I like Nico Collins. I like Cam Akers. CJ Stroud should have a bounce back game. If you have Dalton Schultz, drop that motherfucker because he is not great. He's not playing well. I think the guy's averaging 2 to 3 fantasy points a game. You can find better options on the waiver wire. Brian Thomas Jr. is going to have to probably wait a few weeks until his offense gets right to really see the peak of his powers. And yeah, I'm not really excited about the Jacksonville Jaguars offense. The only guy who I have a glimmer of hope for is probably Travis Etienne. All right, and my favorite game of the week is going to be the Green Bay Packers versus the Minnesota Vikings. I'm a Packer fan. Go Pack, go, baby. But I think this is going to be a really incredible matchup. And oddly enough, what I'm looking forward to in the Green Bay Packers versus Minnesota Vikings matchup is going to be the defensive warfare between the Packers' new defensive coordinator and Jeff Hafley and what the Vikings got going on defense with Brian Flores. A little bit more in-depth analysis on each of these respective defenses. The Minnesota Vikings defense has been vulnerable, if anywhere, against the pass. Right now, the Vikings are allowing about 8 yards per attempt. I think it's like 7.9 or 8 yards per attempt, which ranks them 27th in the league. What that essentially means is they're allowing a lot of deep passes. People are completing the ball downfield against them. If you don't believe me, look at the week Malik Nabers had against those guys a couple weeks back. On the other side, the Packers have been a little susceptible to the run. I think they're allowing about 4.8 yards per carry. This could be a big game for Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones is my favorite fantasy football player from this matchup. I think Aaron Jones has a really big game. You can call it a revenge game against the Packers. I think he runs the rock. The numbers will tell you that right now the Packers are averaging about 4.8 yards per carry. So this is a game similar to what I said about Travis Etienne. If the Vikings say, you know what, Aaron Jones, we're going to feed you, take over the game, he could see 20 or more carries, and I think he pretty easily gets over 100 yards, and that would definitely give him a touchdown. Justin Jefferson, him against Jair is always an interesting matchup. This is tough because Hafley is a lot more aggressive of a defensive play caller than what the Packers have seen in the past. He blitzes a lot. He shows a lot of, you know, like, I guess like distinct exotic formations on defense. I'm interested to see how Justin Jefferson does. I think he's going to get the volume. I just don't know what the completion rate is going to look like. I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers put Jair on Justin Jefferson and then keep Xavier McKinney over the top. So Xavier McKinney, who's been kind of a ball hog this year, you put him over the top of Justin Jefferson, who's going to be force-fed targets. Maybe Xavier McKinney can come down with a pick or two and keep the run alive. I like the Packers in this matchup. Maybe I'm just biased because I'm a Packer fan. I'm interested to see who starts between Malik Willis and Jordan Love. It sounds like Jordan Love is getting healthier. It sounds like Jordan Love might be able to get out there on the field. But in the case that it is Malik Willis, I think that Josh Jacobs is going to see a heavy workload once again this week. I think they integrated Emmanuel Wilson into the game plan more so. Both those guys are going to have opportunities against this tough, you got to admit they're tough, Minnesota Vikings defense. Hopefully they get into the end zone. Josh Jacobs hasn't scored a touchdown yet this year. I'm hoping he can get it done in week 4. We'll see. But my favorite guys from this matchup in terms of fantasy football appeal would be Aaron Jones. Josh Jacobs will get the volume. We'll see what he does with it. I like Jaden Reed. I think he's somewhat underrated. He plays closer to the line of scrimmage. If the Vikings do blitz a lot, whether it's Malik Willis, whether it's Jordan Love, I think Jaden Reed is going to be the guy who capitalizes on that. He runs a lot of his routes 5, 6, 7 yards away from the line of scrimmage, so it takes him a second or two to get into a spot. If the Packers quarterback does have the quick release because the Vikings decide they want to blitz often, hey, that's going to be a good day for Jaden Reed if they can complete passes. Christian Watson is somebody who always seems to have a pretty decent game against the Vikings, or at least he gets his opportunity. If this is a blitz-heavy formula that Brian Flores utilizes against the Green Bay Packers offense, I think Christian Watson could catch a couple bombs over the top in single man-on-man coverage. They're going to treat him with the CB2 or the CB3 in this week's matchup. DB1 will likely cover Romeo Dobbs or Jaden Reed. If you give Christian Watson single coverage on the outside, he can always make a play happen, especially if you're blitzing, right? Keep an eye out for Christian Watson. I like him in DFS lineups too because he's going to be really cheap, but he's someone who I think could catch himself a 50-yard touchdown, and if you do start him, he could be the make or break between a win or a loss for you this week. As far as Sam Darnold, I think he'll probably struggle more so than he has this season. I don't love him as a start this week. Do I think he throws a touchdown or two? Potentially. But I think this could be a relatively high turnover game for him. I trust the Packers defense. And I think that this is going to be a game that I'm really excited to watch. But this could be defensive warfare between the Packers and the Vikings. The only guy I'm really, really feeling comfortable starting is Aaron Jones. I like Jaden Reed as like a wide receiver 3-ish. Christian Watson is a boomer bust flex play. Josh Jacobs is probably a volume-reliant RB2 for you this week. And Justin Jefferson is going to be Justin Jefferson. And he'll be force-fed targets. He'll connect on a few. He'll probably give you low-end wide receiver 1 to mid-tier wide receiver 2 numbers. I don't think he's going to have the best game of the season, but he'll catch a few passes. Might go 70 yards, 4 or 5 catches. He'll get targets in the end zone, and we'll see if he converts. And next game is the Carolina Panthers versus the Cincinnati Bengals. In terms of defense, the Cincinnati Bengals defense has struggled against the run. They are allowing around 5 yards per carry. They are 29th in the league. So they are right behind, actually not many in terms of what they allow on the ground. They're terrible against the run. So I think this could be a big game for Chuba Hubbard. The Panthers defense on the inverse side has been kind of weak against the pass. Right now, the Panthers defense this season is allowing about a 67% completion rate, which will benefit Joe Burrow. This has to be a get-right game for the Cincinnati Bengals and the receivers in terms of T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase. This will be a T. Higgins get-right game. I love T. Higgins this week against the Carolina Panthers. I don't think he gets J.C. Horn. I think that's, you know, more so for Ja'Marr Chase. I like the Cincinnati supporting receivers this week. I think Ja'Marr Chase will be fine. I think he'll do what he normally does. He's a high-end wide receiver 2, low-end wide receiver 1 for me this week. But I think T. Higgins, after having not the greatest game last week, he just didn't really seem like he was in the zone. He missed the first few games of the season. So last week was his first game of the 2024 season. Didn't play great. Bengals lost. They've been losing with him out the lineup and with him not being productive. I think the offense is going to be smart enough to realize that, hey, we got to get T involved. With the Panthers allowing a 67% completion rate, I think T. Higgins is going to catch a couple bombs down the field. And he is another guy. I guess I'm just highlighting DFS plays, but he's a DFS play for me this week. Adam Thielen, IR for the next 4 weeks. Deontay Johnson is going to get his targets. We'll see if Andy Dalton can keep up his run. I think he will. I think he's a significantly better quarterback than Bryce Young. If there's a second Panthers wide receiver I like, it's Xavier Leggett. I've been big on Xavier Leggett since the offseason, since we did rookie fantasy football analysis. I think Xavier Leggett is going to find a way to be utilized properly in this offense, and we'll see what Canales has in store for these offensive weapons. This week on the Panther side, I like Chuba Hubbard. Deontay Johnson is going to get a ton of targets. Alternatively, with the Bengals, this is going to be another good Joe Burrow game. I think he gets, you know, 3 touchdowns, probably gets his 300 yards. T. Higgins is going to have a get-right game. Because T gets targeted so far downfield, and the Panthers are susceptible right now to, you know, once again, a high completion rate through the air, T. Higgins is going to complete a lot of big passes against the 29th best team at defending the pass. All right, and next game we got is the Los Angeles Rams versus the Chicago Bears. Caleb Williams, he had a resurgence game last week, and so did Roma Dunze. There's rumors that Keenan Allen may return to the fold for the Chicago Bears offense. And last week, the Rams actually got a really big win against the San Francisco 49ers. The Rams are going to be without Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua for another week. The latest word on Cooper Kupp is that he is actually doing light drills on the sidelines. He has removed his cast. So if he's doing light drills on the sideline this week, if he's running around on the field getting more comfortable, give it about another week and a half before he plays his week 5 game. There is an opportunity for him to return next week. But for right now, you're working with DeMarcus Robinson, Tutu Atwell, Jordan Whittington, and the running backs and Kyren Williams. The Rams are up against a really tough defense this week. I think the Bears defense right now is better than what the Niners have. The Niners are really, really injured across the board. The Bears defense has been exceptional this year. It's probably been the highlight of the team as the offense kind of figures things out. Right now, the Rams passing game is going to be tough. I don't like anybody on the Rams offense this week against the Bears defense. I'm not playing any Ram. If there is a Ram, it's Tutu Atwell. Just because if for any reason the Rams get down, Tutu's always due to catch a bomb. He's always due to get the downfield opportunity. It's tough, man. I don't like any of these. I don't like guys who would normally be backup receivers playing against an elite defense. Right? That mixture never really ever works out in your favor. In this matchup, across the board with defenses, the Rams are averaging 4.8 yards per carry. They're 28th. I know we just talked about how the Cincinnati Bengals allowed 4.9 and they were 29th, so they're a bottom-tiered team in defending the run. DeAndre Swift has not been efficient. I saw a stat somewhere where he has about like 32 carries for like 65 yards or something like that. Like 65, 63 yards. I think it's like barely under 2 yards a carry. There's a viral tape going around of DeAndre Swift is just running in a lineman. Like just unable to read a gap, unable to see a hole, unable to hit said hole. And the first 3 weeks have been tough for Caleb Williams, who's a rookie quarterback, because they cannot get the run game going. They're talking about Roschon Johnson coming in and taking more carries this week. If you look up Roschon Johnson on Google, the latest reports are that Roschon is projected to go ahead and see a lot more carries after having a relatively efficient day on the ground last week. Roschon is a real threat to go ahead and take over the starting running back job in Chicago. He's one of those backs who didn't get enough love in college because he ran behind Bijan Robinson, who was a generational talent. But Roschon is he's a really good back himself. He's 6 foot, he's 225, he has a year of experience, right? Last week, though, he only averaged around 3.75 yards per carry. That was still an upgrade from DeAndre Swift, who didn't do much better. Last week, DeAndre Swift averaged 1.54 yards per carry versus Roschon Johnson's 3.75 yards per carry. Roschon also is active in the passing game. He had 5 targets last week with 4 receptions, which shows that Caleb trusts throwing him the ball. Caleb Williams and Roschon Johnson played in the NCAA at the same time. Roschon played at Texas. Caleb played at USC. I'm sure they knew of each other. And I'm sure Caleb Williams is happy to have the guy on his team. Roschon is my biggest waiver wire scoop of this week. He's someone that if he's available on your waiver wire, please go get him. Please go add him. Please go stash him. DeAndre Swift just is not good, right? He's just not good. I don't know if it's the scheme. I don't know if it's the offensive line for Chicago, which isn't the greatest. But whatever the reason is, he's not great. It looks like he's probably going to need some time to get right. And ideally, I see like a thunder lightning type of dynamic between these two running backs. Even if Swift gets right, I think Roschon's going to be that downhill runner. I think as it gets colder in Chicago, the Windy City, as the seasons transition. Roshan's going to be an even more effective weapon. And with having a defensive head coach and, you know, Matt Eberflus, I think defensive head coaches like running the ball. What are they going to do with Roshan and D-Swift? If they get them both going, they're going to run the ball. So those are two guys. DeAndre Swift, I don't know if he's droppable. I would give it until about week six. If he doesn't pick it up by week six-ish, then drop him. But Roshan Johnson is a priority add for me this week. On the other side with the Bears defense, they've been weak against the pass. They're allowing about 7.8 yards per attempt. That would hypothetically benefit Matthew Stafford, who, hey, he might distribute the ball really evenly amongst his, you know, amongst his new wide receiver core. But I'm not really looking for any of those guys to have the biggest of days. If there is a big day, I think it'd come from Tutu Atwell, who might catch a bomb touchdown. Cole Kmet for the Bears is somebody I'm keeping an eye on. He had a really good breakout game last week, and so did Roma Dunze. Those two guys work inside. It looks like Caleb Williams is starting to kind of go through his progressions, and he's targeting the quick release throws in the middle of the field. So Cole Kmet, middle of the field, Roma Dunze, middle of the field, DJ Moore is still kind of getting it together. But if Keenan Allen were to return soon, and with Caleb Williams coming off a game where he threw for north of 350 yards, maybe they start to get things going, right? And, you know, I think Cole Kmet, if you have him, you play him every week. Tight end is not as deep as other positions. And Roma Dunze, he had a quiet first couple of weeks. Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison have been incredible. I think Roma Dunze is finally catching up. I think those three receivers might be the best top three receivers we've seen this decade. All right. Broncos versus the Jets is our next matchup. And this is a really interesting matchup as far as the defenses go. The Broncos, who have Patrick Surtain, who shut down, you know, Mike Evans as well as you can shut down Mike Evans last week. He's kind of the highlight from that defense. When it comes to defensive weaknesses for the Broncos, their biggest weakness is, oddly enough, through the passing game. The Broncos are averaging about 275 passing yards a game. They play Aaron Rodgers, the vet, this week. And I think Aaron Rodgers has a game in which we see Alan Lazard get, you know, distributed the ball early and often. I think we see Tyler Conklin go ahead and have another great game. Maybe Mike Williams starts to kind of pick it up. Garrett Wilson's going to see Patrick Surtain. I don't love Garrett Wilson as much this week. I think he has not necessarily a quiet week, but 5 catches for 50-something yards type of week. If he gets into a touchdown, that could maybe save his day. On the other side, the Jets defense, if there is a weakness, it's the run. They allow 4.7 yards a carry. Denver's Javonte Williams has not really gotten it going. At some point in time, I could see maybe an Audric Estime or a Jaleel McLaughlin start to get more touches in the backfield. I think Cortland Sutton, you would suspect that he would have a bad day against Sauce Gardner, who will likely be the DB guarding him. But I think Cortland Sutton kind of being that primary option, building up that trust with Bo Nix. Sean Payton knows what he's going up against. He's an offensive mastermind from what we're told. Last time Cortland Sutton played the Jets, which was last year, I think he only had like one catch on like 3 targets. It was relatively recent. That was the revenge game against Nat Hackett last year. This year, I think Cortland Sutton gets right. Maybe you can call this emotion. Maybe I'm making more of an emotional pick as opposed to an analytical pick. But I do think Cortland Sutton kind of gets his get back this week. I think he has a better game than he had last year, where Sauce kind of shut him down. And I think we see Cortland Sutton with the 4-5 catch game. I think he gets a bomb. I think they move him around the field. They learn from their lessons that Sean Payton learned from last year. And if there's guys I like from this matchup, it's probably going to be Alan Lazard, Breece Hall against this defense. Should be able to kind of not only benefit through the passing game, but, you know, get downfield. Braylon Allen is amazing. I think that Braylon Allen is playing so well for the New York Jets. We're going to have a real conversation next year when it's time to pay Garrett Wilson, when it's time to pay Jermaine Johnson, when it's time to pay Sauce Gardner. I do think Breece Hall is going to be the guy left out of that mix. I think when the Jets get to this offseason and they have to start paying players and Alan Lazard has a spike in production, right? I think there's going to be a tough predicament. For Dynasty, I think Braylon Allen might be the RB1 of this team going into next year. That's my hot take for the episode. I think Braylon Allen is going to be the RB1 for the New York Jets going into the 2025 NFL season. All right, and we got the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Eagles' defense has been spotty going back into last year. I don't know what it is with the secondary, but they just don't do great against the pass. They are still struggling against the pass game, and I think this is going to be exploited by Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans. I just mentioned the Buccaneers' defense. I just mentioned Patrick Surtain. Mike Evans, he's going up against the Philadelphia Eagles, might see Darius Slay. I think he's going to have a get-right game. I think Baker Mayfield, who has been having a really good season this year, had maybe somewhat of a down game last week, and I know people might be off of him because, hey, Baker Mayfield was having this incredible run for the first 2 weeks, and then he runs into a wall for 1 week, and everyone's like, oh, it's Baker Mayfield being Baker Mayfield. But actually, no. I think Baker Mayfield is the real deal. I think he's in the second year of an offense. I know Dave Canales left, so I know it's a little bit different than what we're used to. But second year in an organization, second year with the team, second year with his receivers. I think Chris Godwin and Mike Evans eat against his Philadelphia Eagles secondary. And on the Buccaneers defensive side, if they have had any weakness, it has been against the run. Jaden Daniels in week one kind of, you know, showed him what's up. Week two, the Buccaneers played Detroit. So, you know, hey, there's Jahmyr Gibbs and there's David Montgomery. Well, this week they play Saquon Barkley, who is one of the best running backs this year so far. He's one of the best fantasy football running backs. And I think that this is another week where Saquon Barkley gets his touches. He's my favorite play from this game. I think he's going to go ahead and excel against this defense. The Bucs are averaging 4.8 yards per carry. Saquon's going to go ahead and get a ton of carries, maybe 20 to 25. He's going to get 100 yards, I think, or close to it. And he's also going to see receptions. Jalen Hurts also is probably going to run the ball a decent amount, and he should also benefit from that. Now, the linebackers on the Buccaneers aren't chump, right? You know, if they get creative with their play calling for Philadelphia, that could be a game where, you know, Jalen Hurts, who is probably going to be without Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, he's going to have to use his legs. Todd Bowles is a defensive-minded head coach. I would imagine he's probably going to put, you know, some of the linebackers in a QB spy and force Jalen Hurts to beat him over the top. We'll see how that goes. Dallas Goedert had a really big game last week. We'll see how that goes. Once again, he's going to see a ton of targets. I think he sees north of 9 to 10 targets this week. And my favorite players from this matchup are going to be Saquon, who I think they lean on. My favorite players from this matchup are going to include, you know, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. If you're looking for like a sleeper play this week, let's go with Bucky Irving. Somebody who, you know, runs and catches the ball. Bucky Irving and Rashad White, one of those two will probably get we'll probably go ahead and get some work out of the backfield and provide you some value if you need a flex play. All right, and we got the Arizona Cardinals versus the Washington Commanders. Both teams have kind of struggled somewhat against defending against the pass. Emmanuel Forbes with the Washington Commanders is still kind of getting picked on. Their secondary for Washington has been inconsistent. And when it comes to Kyler Murray, he's really formed some really strong chemistry with Marvin Harrison so far throughout the year. Marvin Harrison, the last couple of weeks, has really kind of been proving why, I guess, he was taken so early in redraft leagues and why he was, for many people, the number one pick in Dynasty. Right now, Marvin Harrison is the number 9 wide receiver in all of fantasy football. And the last 2 weeks, respectively, he has a wide receiver 1 finish and a wide receiver 20 finish. Both weeks combining for about 194 yards on 9 receptions with 3 touchdowns. Really great stat line. I think that Marvin Harrison's probably going to get paired up against Emmanuel Forbes, who, once again, does kind of get picked on in the secondary by most quarterbacks. He should have a pretty solid day. I think he's going to have a really good day, actually. And I think Jaden Daniels is probably also going to go out there and continue his dominance. He's been extremely accurate. His completion percentage is one of the highest in the NFL. He works with his legs. Terry McLaurin is kind of coming to form a little bit. Terry McLaurin was somebody who the first couple of weeks wasn't really doing the best. A lot of folks drafted him in the fifth, sixth round, and, you know, he wasn't really living up to par, living up to the standards that, you know, might have been set by his ADP. I do believe that your buy low window for Terry is probably going to be up after the next week or two. I had Terry as a top 10 wide receiver coming into the NFL season. I still have him up there in the top 10, top 15 range. He had 100 yards and a touchdown on Monday night against the Cincinnati Bengals. Him and Jaden Daniels finally connected deep. They finally got going in the passing game. Jaden Daniels doesn't really have all too many options. It looks like Cam Sims is a wide receiver who's getting a lot of work. Zach Ertz is starting to kind of come alive. I think Terry McLaurin by the middle of this year is going to be like a tier one, tier two wide receiver for your fantasy teams. And it just took a couple of weeks to kind of get things going. Jaden Daniels is probably him and Kyler Murray are both plays I love this week. I think this is going to be a higher scoring game. I don't know who wins this. This is a game I probably wouldn't bet on, but if I had to bet on it, I would say I just trust Jaden Daniels more than I trust Kyler Murray, which is crazy to say because JD's playing in his fourth game in the NFL. But seeing him go up against Joe Burrow, seeing how cool, calm, and collected he is in the clutch, obviously his chemistry with Terry McLaurin starting to grow, and he's mobile, so he can either pass it or run it. I love the Washington Commanders this year. They're my dark horse to go ahead and make the playoffs, right? One of those teams that maybe didn't perform so well last year and then kind of revitalize and get up and going. I like Jaden McDaniels in this matchup. I like Brian Robinson in this matchup. We'll see if Austin Eckler's healthy. He did get hurt in the Monday night game, so we'll see how he recovers from that. And on the other side, Marvin Harrison, once again, Emmanuel Forbes is likely going to be the guy who's covering him a decent amount of the time. I think Marvin Harrison's going to eat that up. Marv has just been going crazy the last 2 weeks, so we'll see what happens. But my favorite plays from this week are going to be Jaden Daniels. It's going to be Marvin Harrison, and it's going to be Kyler Murray. If there is a dark horse guy, maybe like a sleeper type of dude, a lot of people would probably say James Conner. I'm going to go a little bit deeper, and I'm going to say Cam Sims. I'm going to say Cam Sims is somebody who y'all should be paying a little bit more attention to. Looks like bro's getting a lot of targets, a lot of opportunity that'll obviously only grow. There's not much for target competition outside of Terry McLaurin. And if him and, you know, Jaden Daniels are showing chemistry, trust it. Why not? New England, San Francisco. Not really too much to say about this one. Juwan Jennings had a really big game last week. He had 3 touchdowns, over 100 yards. Really showed out while Deebo Samuel was out. Obviously, George Kittle missed the game last week. Brandon Ayuk has not been as great as we hoped he would be up through this point, especially after, you know, signing a new contract. From what it sounds like, Deebo Samuel is going to maybe be doubtful. He was out, you know, with that calf injury. He returned to practice on Thursday. He was practicing through portions. We don't know what his official status is. I'm going to lean doubtful, but if he does play, I think he'll be an integral part of the offense, especially, you know, with CMC not playing. He might get some backfield touches. George Kittle is another big injury that we saw last week. He was limited on Wednesday with that hamstring injury. He injured his hamstring in practice last week, and he didn't end up playing in week 3 against the Rams. I don't really know how serious the injury was because, you know, hey, we don't really have all too much information. He is 30, so, you know, limited practice on Wednesday isn't exactly something that's surprising or new. We'll probably have to see what he is like on Friday. If he practices on Friday, I'd assume he's going to play. But those two guys are integral parts of the offense that I do think need to return. The Patriots aren't the greatest team in the world. Ramondre Stevenson's the only guy I'm really worried about starting from the Patriots. Ramondre's probably going to go ahead and see a bulk load of the touches. I do not know if Jacoby and that offense is going to toss the ball up all too often. So Truth be told, I'm not really starting anyone from the Patriots offense this week. If I had to start someone from the San Francisco offense, it's definitely going to be Jordan Mason. He's integral no matter if it's a pass game, if it's a running type of game. I do think the Niners are going to win this week. I think they're going to come out hot. I think they are probably still pissed off from how they've started the season. Right now, the Niners are 1-2. I think they run the ball late in the game once they get their lead against New England, who likely won't be able to keep up offensively. And this should be a relatively easy game for the Niners to bring home and get a W in. All right, and we got the Browns versus the Raiders, two teams that have been kind of inconsistent throughout the beginning of the year. When it comes to the Cleveland Browns defense, not really all too many weak points. If there is any weakness, it's the run defense. If you have like a strong, powerful type of running back, which, you know, that's a profile that does fit like a Zamir White. So we'll see if Zamir White can maybe, you know, kind of help the Raiders uptick their offense, get the offense going. The Cleveland Browns up until this point, they've only faced not the greatest of running backs. I mean, Rico Dowdle and Ezekiel Elliott week one, Travis Etienne week two, Devin Singletary week three. Seems like it's going to be another week of, you know, maybe like bottom tier running back play. But if there is an area to exploit, maybe Zamir White can get going in that gap offense or in a gap offense. With the Las Vegas Raiders, their defense is also nothing to write home about. I guess if there is any area that the Cleveland Browns can exploit, it would probably be targeting Amari Cooper, who kind of had a resurgence of sorts. He had two touchdowns in the week three game. I think Amari Cooper is going to go ahead and, similar to Terry McLaurin, start to prove his value. There was a buy low window for these guys earlier this season. I like Amari Cooper as like a wide receiver two, wide receiver three this week. Deshaun Watson is same as always. Right now, Deshaun is QB 18 in fantasy football leagues. He, you know, he's typically good for about 175 passing yards. Might get you a touchdown through the air, and he'll run for about 20 to 25 yards per game. So back in QB 1 if you start him, QB 2 more so territory. He's a better player for Superflex. Davante Adams, he's going to have a big game. After the Raiders kind of got embarrassed last week against the Panthers, after the Raiders have bad games, it's usually Davante Adams who bounces back and will have a big game the following week. I think we see more of the same. Right now, Davante Adams, he's wide receiver 18, so it looks like it's going to be another kind of off and on year for him with Gardner Minshew in the backfield, similar to what he dealt with Aiden O'Connell. But it's Davante Adams. He's one of the best receivers in the league. If there's anybody I'm relying on, it's him. Brock Bowers, set it and forget it. I don't give a fuck how bad the Raiders are. There's just not a lot of tight ends. He's tight end two on the season. He's damn near as good as it gets. Travis Kelce's regressing. Mark Andrews is regressing. David Njoku was hurt. You're not going to really get much better than Brock Bowers, so he's a weekly set and forget. Kansas City versus the Los Angeles Chargers. Kansas City, if they have a weakness, it's going to be like short, quick passes. It's going to be the run game somewhat. The Chargers are strong against the pass, weaker against the run. They have a couple injuries in their linebacking core right now. This is a divisional rivalry, so these players are familiar with each other. However, this is the first time that Harbaugh is going to be going up against the Chiefs. So Harbaugh is kind of like a hard-nosed, you know, roughneck type of coach. He's going to play a very aggressive defense. He's going to play a downhill style of offense. I think this is going to be a heavy ball control type of offense from the Chargers. J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards are two guys I'd feel comfortable starting this week against the Kansas City Chiefs. On Kansas City side, Rashee Rice at this point, set and forget. Travis Kelce is also a set and forget. I know he hasn't really been living up to the standard. He hasn't really been doing the greatest, but tight end is so shallow, you can't really afford to sit him. Xavier Worthy, he's he's hit or miss, right? He's kind of established himself even this early as just like a boom or bust type of option. He's either going to have a great week or he's going to have, kind of like a meh type of week. We'll see what type of pass rush that the Chargers can generate with Khalil Mack and Bosa. It looks like Derwin James is suspended, which is going to be a big deal and could potentially leave, you know, some room for Xavier Worthy to get open over the top when you have, you know, the Chargers starting safety out of the box, out of the picture. Travis Kelce is another guy who, if there was a week to get going, I would imagine it's going to be this week. I like Xavier Worthy this week, especially in DFS. Rashee Rice is going to go ahead and get his targets. He'll probably see 8, 9, 10 receptions. We're at the point to where it wouldn't be unreasonable if you're offering Garrett Wilson or Tyreek Hill for Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice is a top 5 wide receiver in fantasy, and it kind of looks like he has absorbed some of Travis Kelce's role, right? He works inside the numbers. He works the middle of the field. He has great chemistry with Patrick Mahomes now. He looks like a guy. It looks like it's finally here. He's a top 10 wide receiver, as weird as that is to say at this point. Starting Rashee Rice, starting Travis Kelce, starting Xavier Worthy, starting the running backs from the Chargers, and that's about it. Justin Herbert, he kind of got a little hurt. We'll see what's up with that on Sunday. I would assume he's probably going to play. He just doesn't have the weapons there. I'm not excited about any of the Chargers' wide receivers. I know Quentin Johnston has caught a couple touchdowns, but touchdowns are unpredictable. If you get one, cool, but I'm not just banking in that, you know, you're going to catch one every week. Quentin Johnston, if you look at the last couple of weeks, I mean, obviously he's been scoring, but the numbers aren't really anything to write home about. Week 3 against Pittsburgh, he had 2 catches. One of those catches was a touchdown. Week 2 against Carolina, he had 5 catches. 2 of those catches went for touchdowns. He's kind of touchdown reliant. He's wide receiver 16, which is better than I ever thought he'd get to. And we'll see how that works with him kind of being like a default wide receiver 1. I think he has some value this year. If you're in Dynasty, I wouldn't be mad at you if you pitched Quentin Johnston kind of, you know, right now while he's at his high. But the guy so far has kind of proven to be somewhat touchdown reliant. Not saying he's a terrible player. I'm not saying that I might have been somewhat wrong when I said that, hey, he's not going to be everything he was built up to be last season. But you got to also acknowledge the truth. And the truth is the guy has 7 catches the last 2 weeks, and 3 of the 7 catches went for touchdowns. Take that for what you will. And before I forget, Patrick Mahomes, quarterback for the Chiefs, he also hasn't lived up to the hype this season. He's making a lot of people salty with where he currently places in terms of all quarterbacks. He's QB 13 on the season. It's not that he's playing bad football. He's having some issues with turnovers. He has 4 turnovers in the last 3 games, right? Like, if you're betting on an interception prop, he's actually a strong bet right now. Not only is he turning the ball over, but he's not really as mobile as he usually is. Throughout the season so far, Patrick Mahomes only has about 50 rushing yards in 3 games, which says that, hey, the guy's getting about 15 to 20 rushing yards a game, which is nothing to write home about. So if you're not rushing, if you're turning the ball over every game, right, and, you know, you're getting somewhere around like 210, 220-ish passing yards with maybe a touchdown or 2 sprinkled in, it's not going to be what you drafted him for. The first 3 weeks he played the Ravens, the Bengals, and the Falcons, who are all bottom of the tier pass defenses. But it is going to start heating up this week against the Chargers. Next week he plays the Saints defense, which is really good. And then week six, he'll be on a bye. So these next 3 weeks, we'll see how they go. But if you're a Patrick Mahomes owner, the best of the best is behind you now. You're going into a tougher slate of defenses. The next 3 weeks could be a little bit tough. And week 7, when he comes back off the bye, he gets the San Francisco 49ers defense. The next month could be a little tough. I would go ahead and stash a quarterback if there's any available on, you know, like free agency. maybe for whatever reason people aren't buying the hype with Derek Carr, cool. If someone's dropped maybe Justin Herbert, don't hate you for picking him up. Wouldn't even be mad if you went out and got a Deshaun Watson, right? But if you are a Patrick Mahomes owner, he's QB 13. If you play in a 12-team league, he's not even a QB 1 so far statistically. I'm not mad at you if you go get another guy off the waiver wire who maybe has a little bit more rushing upside and can provide you a safer floor and maybe even a higher ceiling at this point in time. Mahomes will get it together. It'll just take some time, I believe. Game of the week, especially for fantasy, the Buffalo Bills versus the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens, they're 1-2. They're kind of making a resurgence. They're starting to kind of pick things back up. Lamar Jackson is starting to take over. He's using his legs more. The Buffalo Bills, I've said it every single week this year, their linebacking core is the weakness of their defense, right? I think that's going to serve Lamar Jackson well in this game. I think he's going to be able to go ahead and run the ball. I think Derrick Henry's going to go ahead and mix in well and have a great game as well. For the Buffalo Bills, the area that they can attack against the Baltimore Ravens is going to be the deep pass. The Ravens last week played the Cowboys. The Cowboys somewhat made a comeback in the fourth quarter. But a guy who stood out is Jalen Tolbert, who, you know, is a deep ball receiver. They are susceptible to receivers who can stretch the field. And Josh Allen, with the rocket of an arm that he has, hopefully will be able to do that within the offense. So he has guys like Khalil Shakir, who typically works a little closer to the line of scrimmage. There's other guys like Keon Coleman, who I think could have a... Actually, I think Keon Coleman could have a big game this week. Keon Coleman is probably my play of the week, my sleeper play of the week in fantasy football. I think Keon, he caught his first touchdown a few days ago against the Jaguars, right? He wasn't super involved, but in terms of like a viable deep threat, he's probably the best option they have. They have MVS, but he's on the bench. Keon is 6'4". He's 215. He should be a high point, right? Like, jump up in the air and get the 50-50 ball type of guy. If they can go ahead and target Keon down the field, I think Keon could maybe create a couple big plays here or there. He is a starting wide receiver, too, so he's the starting Z receiver. If Khalil Shakir gets shut down or shadowed by, like, Marlon Humphrey, Keon Coleman should be someone who can, work down the field and catch a big pass. You have guys like Dalton Kincaid who are still trying to figure things out. Dalton Kincaid is averaging somewhere around like 10 to 11 yards per catch. He just needs the volume. He has 8 catches total in the last 3 weeks. He's another set and forget tight end because the Bills just don't have as many options. But I'm looking at Kincaid and Coleman this week as guys who should be able to go ahead and make their mark. James Cook having a great year, having a hell of a year. James Cook against his Ravens defense could have a day. And when I say a day, I don't mean it in the best way. I actually think James Cook against this Baltimore Ravens defense, which is third against the rush, they're going to go ahead and make it hard for him to get any progress. The Ravens are a smart organization. They are a smart team. James Cook will be the guy who they probably aim to take away. And they're going to force Josh Allen to beat him through the air with these younger receivers. We'll see if that's possible. I like Lamar Jackson. I like Derrick Henry. Zay Flowers should have a decent game. Once again, the middle of the Buffalo Bills defense is susceptible. Zay Flowers is a guy who gets a lot of catches within about 5 to 8 yards. So he works closer to the line of scrimmage. He could see a decent amount of targets. This will be a really interesting game to watch, not only for fantasy, but just for real life football. And I'm excited to see who comes out on top. Titans and Dolphins are the next game. We'll see if Tyler Huntley gets to start for the Dolphins. Devin Achane's going to get a bunch of opportunities once again. We'll see if Raheem Mostert is available. I think Raheem Mostert would significantly help the Dolphins, who can then just run the ball 40, 50 times a game. The Titans aren't very good at anything right now. If they are good at anything, it's stopping the run, which is going to be the Dolphins' really only opportunity to maybe see success. if I'm the Dolphins and I have two speedy backs like that, we saw it last week against Green Bay. You can't really run up the middle against the Titans. Your best shot is running around the corners, running around the edges. You have guys like Devon Achane and Raheem Mostert who run 4.3, 4.4 40s, and they should be able to get to the edge relatively quickly. I think that's really your only option. You're looking at play action passes as well. Tyreek is having kind of a tough season. He's not producing the way you might have drafted him to hopefully produce. Jalen Waddle is Jalen Waddle. At this point, I'm kind of out on Jalen Waddle. I don't know what it is with this offense, but dude's just not. The last couple of years have kind of been just suspect for him. I don't know why he hasn't been producing as much. I don't know if it's just because Tyreek is there. I don't know if he just, you know, maybe isn't as great with the ball or whatever the case may be. But Jalen Waddle's wide receiver 45 on the season right now. That's not great. Tyreek Hill, who might have been the first or second draft pick, is wide receiver 22 on the season. Both these guys have underwhelmed without Tua. Devon Achane is the only guy who's really held his value throughout the season. He's a top three running back just because of how explosive he is. Raheem Mostert has missed a couple of games. We'll see how he does. On the Titans front, Will Levis is Will Levis. I can't even give you an analysis on the guy because every week it's something new. Tony Pollard, he looked a little slow last week against Green Bay. Tyjae Spears looked to have a little bit of juice. If you have an empty slot, if Tyjae Spears is available, I'm not mad at you stashing him. Calvin Ridley and D-Hop are guys who, if they have a ceiling, it's probably going to be 5 to 6 catches, 80, 90 yards. D-Hop is probably going to be the touchdown merchant of this group just because of his presence in the red zone. But I'm not excited about really anyone in this matchup. And last game of the week is the Seahawks versus the Lions. The Seahawks are weaker against like deep passes down the field. They tend to somewhat struggle against those deep shot passes. I don't know if that's because they just tend to be in shootouts a lot. I don't know what the case may be, but I think this is a game where Jameson Williams could prove himself to be a really solid weapon. Amon-Ra St. Brown should have a pretty decent day against the Seattle Seahawks defense. DK Metcalf for the Seahawks is going to have a day. We'll see if Kenneth Walker will play this week. It sounds like that oblique injury may be subsiding a little bit. Even if he does come back, I do believe him and Zach Charbonnet are going to somewhat split carries. You bring a guy back from injury. The Seahawks are 3-0. The formula has been working. I don't think Charbonnet is going to go from hero to zero. I think they're going to continue to go ahead and use the guy. Ken Walker, if he does come back, he'll get his touches on the ground, but it'll be a timeshare. JSN, he's emerging. He's had a relatively decent season so far. When it comes to who I think is going to win this game, I'm going to go with the Seahawks. I'm going to go with the Seahawks, who are undefeated so far throughout the season. I love Geno Smith as a streaming play this week. Love him as a DFS play. Same thing with Goff. I think this is a high-scoring affair. Noah Fant is a tight end. Pick him up. Stash him on your bench. He's going to start getting opportunities as he gets more engraved into this McDonald offense. Sam LaPorta, I kind of said this in the offseason that Sam LaPorta is my biggest candidate for regression this year. He hasn't really done all that well this season. He's been really underwhelming. Right now, Sam LaPorta, who you probably drafted in the third, fourth round, he's tight end 17. He's the 17th best tight end in a shallow position. That's hard to do. Sam LaPorta so far this year has less than 14 points. He has less than 14 fantasy points throughout three games. Not only that, but he was a non-participant at practice on Thursday as well with an ankle injury. He looks like one of those guys that's going to he's in a sophomore slump. It is what it is. Amon-Ra is going to be Amon-Ra. Jameson Williams emerging isn't going to exactly help. And Jahmyr Gibbs getting more receptions. David Montgomery continuing to work well. It's just going to keep pushing Sam LaPorta down the ranks in terms of importance within the offense. If you can maybe pair him up with somebody and do a 2-for-1 trade to go get a starter, maybe like another starting tight end, maybe another receiver, if you can go ahead and pair up a Sam Laporta with, you know, someone else on your squad, and in return, maybe you can go out and get a George Kittle, right? Maybe in return, you can get someone like a, I don't know, maybe Chris Olave, who's wide receiver 30. I do think he's going to start to, you know, see more production, but he's wide receiver 30 right now, so he might be a value. I would go out there and I would grab someone like that. Tight ends just aren't that important in fantasy as it is. And even if he does see positive progression, I don't know if it's going to be enough to justify the draft capital that a lot of people spent on him. If you can go get a wide receiver like a Chris Olave, who's the X receiver, I'm not mad at it. If you can go get it, elite tight end, someone like a George Kittle, maybe, someone like, if you can get, you probably can't get Trey McBride, but if someone's willing to offer you like a Dalton Kincaid, maybe, who's tight end 11, hasn't really lived up to the hype for the first few weeks, I like that a little bit more than I like Sam Laporta in Detroit. That's my analysis on all 32 teams this week. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Please do me a favor and hit that subscribe button, and also turn on those push notifications so you know when we drop. But until we meet again, my name is Ja. Good luck this week.